One time, showed up at the church building at Little Kansas, and is kind of thinner than normal. And I said, "Where's Chuck at?" Chuck was the song leader, and Ardell said, "You're leading singing today." And we laughed. And a few minutes went by. I said, "But really, where's Chuck at?" And Ardell said, "But really, you're leading singing this morning." And I said, "But I don't really do that." And but that's what I did. And so yesterday, I knew, you know, Casey texted and said that he still wasn't feeling well and he wasn't going to be able to lead singing. And I was like, "Well, all right." So Dennis and Will are off for the eclipse. And Zach is off to make sure people like Will and Dennis behave at the eclipse. And I text Jake, and Jake said, "I'm kind of sick." And so I text Rick, and Rick said, "I'm sick too." And I started getting those cold sweats. And I could hear the voice of Ardell Porter saying, "No, really, you were leading singing." So I text Wes, and I text Matthew, and maybe some other, maybe even text Earl. I was getting pretty desperate for anybody to lead singing. So I appreciate Matthew saying yes first. Took a weight off my shoulders. It's good to see. Yeah, you all don't know how thankful to be either. That's the truth. I guess for a show of hands, maybe from the wives, have you ever felt like maybe your husband wasn't paying attention? I don't see one hand go up. That's a good thing. I like one person said that our ears are a marvelous creation, that a piano has 88 keys, but each of your ears has the range of 1,500 keys. I wonder how they test that. But he said they are so finely tuned that you could hear the blood running through your vessels. The outside of your ear can catch up to 73,700 vibrations per second. And then he would go on and he would say that my wife used to think that I needed my hearing checked. But there's nothing wrong with my hearing. I just don't listen to her. And it's not that I don't love her. It's just that something else has caught my attention at that moment, and I regard that as being more important. Somehow I don't think that explanation helped him with his wife, right? But that's sort of that science, right? And we can all identify with that. It's not that we don't hear our wives. It's just maybe sometimes we don't deem what they're saying as important as whatever meme we're reading on our phone at that second, right? They say it's a man thing, it's a guy thing, but really it's true of just about everybody. That what we consider most important, that which we value, that which has its worth in the moment, that's what gets our attention. That's what gets center stage in our minds. Everything else sort of just fades into the background. Michelangelo, the sculptor and artist, not the Ninja Turtle, observed that when he seen several art galleries in the cities across Europe, he was deeply impressed by the overwhelming numbers of paintings that showed Jesus hanging on the cross. And Michelangelo would ask, "Why are the art galleries filled with so many pictures of the Christ crucified? Why do artists concentrate upon that passing episode as if it is the final and the last word given? Christ dying on the cross only lasted for a few hours. But to the end of unending eternity, Christ is alive." And Michelangelo has got a point, right? In other words, the crucifixion, vital and critical to our salvation, has grabbed our attention. But what about the resurrection? Did the resurrection have any value? Was the idea of resurrection important? Well, yeah, the idea of resurrection was so important that the chief priests and the Pharisees, they did everything that they could to make sure that no resurrection ever took place. Matthew would record in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 62, that the next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how the impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell people he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." And so they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. And we've sort of talked about this over the last several weeks, their intention in this. They wanted no hint of a resurrected Jesus. And so they go preemptively and ask Pilate to put a guard in front of this tomb so that way they couldn't steal the body. Because if the body got stolen, there would be real problems in trying to prove that they had killed Jesus. And because that Jesus had predicted that he would rise from the dead, and again, as long as Jesus' body was still in that tomb, it would crush any further potential power that this movement that his followers had. They could literally take people over to the tomb and roll the stone away and say, "Look, right here is the body of Jesus, and he's still dead. And if he's still in the tomb dead, that proved that this teacher was a liar to these people," right? Because he said he would rise again. But again, if the body was still in the grave, that didn't pose a problem. But if the body wasn't in the grave any longer, these Jewish leaders would have a real issue with doing a show and tell. And so these leaders, these chief priests and Pharisees, that they go to Pilate and they get that Roman guard. And we've talked about that they had to go to Pilate because he was running things. And these soldiers that Pilate had, they were the best fighting force in the world at the time. Roman soldiers, they didn't give an inch. When they were told to protect something, they did that until they died, because really the alternative was probably they were going to die anyway if they abandoned that. So they protected things at all costs. And these Jewish leaders, they went to the tomb. They made sure that the body was there. And so they roll the stone in place and they seal it with a Roman seal, a symbol that they hate, but they use it for their purposes here. And then they go home and they go to bed, only to wait a couple of days later to learn that they failed, right? They failed because no Roman guard was going to be able to keep Jesus in the grave. It would probably be true to say that a whole Roman legion couldn't have done that. In Psalms 2, we read there that God sits in the heavens and he laughs at the feeble to control the eternal. So the idea of resurrection was important. Paul tells us in Romans in the first chapter, verse 4, that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. The importance of resurrection, it declared that Jesus was the Son of God. And the idea of resurrection was so important that it was the centerpiece of the gospel. Paul would say regarding the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 that I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. I read a story of a conversation between a Christian missionary and a Muslim, and it sort of illustrates that point. The Muslim wanted to impress the missionary with what he considered to be the superiority of Islam. And he said, when we go to Mecca, we at least can find the coffin of Muhammad. When you Christians go to Jerusalem, to your Mecca, you find nothing but an empty grave. And to this, the believer replied, that is just the difference. Muhammad is dead and he's in his coffin, as are all of these other founders and teachers of religion and philosophy are in their coffins. But Christ is risen, and all power in heaven on earth has been given to him. The resurrection is the centerpiece of our faith. But not only that, the idea of resurrection is so important. Who we are as Christians depend on it for just about everything that we are and believe. Paul would tell the Colossians in Colossians 2:12 that we, having been buried with him, meaning Jesus in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power working of God who raised him from the dead. He would also tell the church in Rome and in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Peter would write in 1 Peter 3:1-3 that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But it doesn't stop there. The resurrection has an impact on our entire lives as Christians. Scripture says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us as Christians. Verse 11 of Romans 8 says that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And so how did he get in you? Well, Peter tells us in Acts 2:38 that there he tells the people to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Towards the end of the letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes in part that I don't ever cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. I mean, in other words, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is also at work within us to give us power in our lives, control over circumstances. It's like maybe walking up to someone and giving them like a blank check. And it's really even more than that. It begins with our salvation, and then it continues on through our whole life, and then it finally impacts those final stages of our lives on this earth, our own mortality, the fact that one day we will all die. And so Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, that since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. And so in other words, when Jesus comes, as it says in other places, there will be a loud command of the voice of the archangel, a trumpet call will sound of God, and if you're in the grave, the Bible tells us that you will be raised up, and you too, like Jesus, no Roman guard or legion will be able to keep the dead down on that day. Now, I kind of close with this story probably every time I preach about resurrection, and I did Sunday night. So if you're here Sunday night, you can say it along with me. But in Germany, in Hanover, Germany, there's a cemetery there, and there's a grave there that has several slabs of granite and marble cemented together and fastened by steel clamps on top of this lady who wanted to be buried there, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. But again, strangely, she ordered in her will that her grave be made so secure that if there happened to be a resurrection, it would never touch her. And so on the marker of her grave are inscribed these words: "This burial place must never be opened." But in time, a seed covered by those stones began to grow, and it slowly began pushing its way through the soil out from beneath them. And as the trunk enlarged, those great slabs were gradually shifted, so those steel clamps were finally wrenched from their socket, and a tiny seed had became a tree that pushed all of those stones aside. The resurrection's going to get to that lady in Hanover, Germany, I guess is what I'm saying. Wednesday night, Mary Ellen came forward, confessed her faith in Christ, and would put baptism on. This morning, the same opportunity is presented to you. If you've came here this morning with a decision made to put Christ on in baptism, the baptismal waters are ready. If you came here this morning and you would like a need addressed by the congregation, this would be an opportune time as well. If you have any kind of need, please come as together we stand and we sing.